Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mecca of Banter podcast. I will be your host this week, Bucci. It's been a few weeks since I've been in the booth, but let me tell you, it feels good to be back. Cheers to the fellas for letting me host this week, man. Let's start with some introductions. I'm going to send it over to the number one assistant high school soccer coach in the state of Missouri, Connor Sandobri. How are we doing today?
Soon, Jefferson County assistant coach. I'm doing good. I'm doing good, fellas. Today I'm feeling Danish. So United finally signed a striker for the first time, and a young striker, I guess I should say, in a decade. So feeling good. You know, we're just about a week left before the Prem starts up again. So we're finally getting back to full swing here. Happy to see you, fellas.
Absolutely. We will talk more about the Danish wonder in a little while. Let's hear from the Gooner himself. Lucas, how we doing, sir?
What's up, gents? I don't think I was here last week either. Yeah, no, because you and Hoove had the two-man tag team episode. So I'm happy to be back here too. I feel like been traveling so much the last month and catching up on work. So it's good to be back here and bantering with you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good to have you. And last but not least, the freaking legend himself. Guy's got the second best mustache in Missouri behind Daddy Wine. How we doing, Hoop?
Good, brother. We're fresh off a bachelor party trip. So I needed some health in my life. We've been drinking water. Watch the boys go down last week. Lots to talk about. So,
absolutely. I'm sure you had quite the sugar rush on that bachelor party, huh?
So many sodas, dude. So many.
So many sodas.
Shorties.
My man. Good to have you guys here, man. I'm excited for this episode. The first thing we're going to talk about, and it's, you know, I honestly feel like Fabrizio Romano, the amount of times I've opened Twitter the last, like, month. All these transfers going on, not just in the Prem, but basically all over. There's a lot of really good moves, and there's a lot of people leaving clubs. But we got to start it off with the $77 million 20-year-old Hoyland. So, talk to us about Hoyland and how excited you are.
Brother, you're saying that, like, it's a bad thing. We are paying for – let me list these off here for you here in a second. We have not bought a striker that's, like, under the age of, I think – 24, and the only one is Lukaku. You have to think, our last one is a 30-year-old Weghorst. We bought a Gallo who was over 32 years old. We bought Cristiano Ronaldo. We bought Edison Cavani. We bought all these guys who are literally on their last fucking legs of their careers, expecting them to just lead us to Premier League titles. So one of the reasons I'm so excited about Hoyland, to me, the money doesn't matter. We're paying for what I think we get in the future from him. But Hoyland is a young striker who Ten Hag can develop. He's one of those guys who, when you look at sort of his player profile, he's one of those guys that has pace and can get it behind. He's a poacher. He makes great run in the box. I think based off the speed that he was clocked that last year running, he just became the fastest player on United's team coming into this year. Like, the profile of striker that he has is exactly what we need. And then you sort of combine that with the fact you have a Bruno Fernandes last year who played the most crucial passes and had, I think, like the fourth or fifth amount of assists. So we've been lacking for a nine for so long. And I think when you look at sort of the profile of the striker, it's a guy that Ten Hag can develop into sort of, like, in my opinion, a little bit of a hybrid of Holland and Kane. And what I mean by that is, obviously, that's a high comparison, but I more so mean that he has the pace and strength. He's nearly 6'4". But not only that, does he have the ability to sort of play with his feet and beat people. The area where he needs to improve upon is sort of in a link-up play, being able to hold the ball up, play sort of one and two touch passes. But the complementary style that he's going to be able to play with, like, a darting Marcus Rashford next to him, to where he can check in a little bit and it'll take those two defenders, because he is 6'3", 6'4", and they have to pay attention to him. And he'll leave that space in behind for Rashford to play. So to me, it's just... this is the signing that I think, when you look at other players in the world, the money we did pay for him, I don't think there's another young striker that I would want. I mean, you can say you want an Osimhen, you can say you want a Kane, you can say you sort of want all these players. We would have to spend 100 million plus on an older striker that would 100% come in and score goals. And instead, we're building for the future and signing a 20-year-old who can come in and develop and can learn to not only that, but like United was his dream. Like it, he's come out and said that United was his dream to play. He turned down PSG. There's rumors of another Premier League team that came in for him. My best guess was Chelsea. And he said, no, he only wanted United. So to me, this is like the perfect signing to just sort of kickstart this. But I think the thing is like the last spark we bought was a Luke Weghorst and he scored 2 goals. So basically if he scores 3 goals, it's progression. So I'm super excited for the move. Just hope the kid doesn't get too much pressure too early, but I'm pumped for him.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and I think when I was texting you guys the other day, like at first I was like, man, 77 million for a 20-year-old, you know, who hasn't scored more than 9 goals in a season in the league. But when you look at the bigger picture, I do see your perspective on it. It's like, well, you're building. This gives Ten Hag his first chance to actually build instead of go buy a 34-year-old striker, which United has done with Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo. They've done it in the last 5 years, 2 or 3 times, right? So now you can actually have a future with this kid. He is highly rated. So, I mean, you should be excited.
He's leading World Cup qualifying in Europe in goals. So yeah, he's got 6. I think Kane's at 5. So like, if we can get him to produce, the guy has all the tools to be a bagsman. It's just can he handle the life and pressure of playing for United?
You had to say that because I wasn't going to get past the 9 goals in a season thing before. You know, I was willing to say 77 million's worth it. But go ahead. Yeah. It shows the market so messed up. Like the kid is rated well, but like where, you know, like Haaland, what was he? His release clause was like 50, 60.
It's nothing. No, the total amount has never been released.
Like
still hasn't.
That's okay. Well, Man City, an insane situation for Man City in the first place, but like he was putting up goals. I don't know. I think you're right. But the pressure could get to him. It got to Sancho.
There's no doubt it's a risk. Like there's 100%, there's no doubt it's a risk. I think Ten Hag has not given us a reason to believe that he doesn't know what he needs. Like, I think we still need to see a little bit more for Antony, but like sort of the profile of the players that he wants, and he knows what he wants. He likes these kids that are ambitious, that he can not only that, but he can just sort of nurture. And it's getting a little interpersonal in United details, but when Ten Hag came in, he brought a former striker. His name is Benny McCarthy. And the guy that came over and is one of the assistant coaches and is like Rashford has credited for like the biggest part of his revival last season, taught him how to score headers, taught him how to be sort of the complete all-around finisher. And I think the combination of Ten Hag with like a Benny McCarthy, like a sort of a striker guru, it's like the hope and the prayers that it works out. But it's definitely, you can't deny that there's a risk, especially for the price tag.
Yeah. No doubt. 100%. 100%. Well, let's slide over to Winks. Is there anything Arsenal related that you'd like to speak on in terms of your transfers this summer so far and how you're feeling about things? And go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, I think that next week we'll dive into like kind of outlooks based on our transfers and stuff. And also going to be having an Arsenal Mecca Moments coming out in the next couple of weeks with Nate Griffin, who joined me on our last Arsenal Mecca Moments, as well as JP. So excited to do that. So I won't go too in depth into the guys that we've signed in the last couple of months. But as far as recently, we've been talking about it the last handful of days, but David Raya is rumored to be coming to Arsenal, and that was before everything came out about Matt Turner. But at first it was one of those things that, like, at the end of the last Prem season, Ramsdale was rated as the most valuable keeper given, I guess, like how our season ended or where we ended up and his overall performance and then his age, kind of a ton of different factors going into it. So whenever I saw that rumor, I was super confused because neither of these guys deserve to be backups right now at this stage in their career. So my first thought was, you know, like what's Arteta's plan behind bringing in two guys that could start right away when Matt Turner's still kind of developing. He's getting time, you know, for his national team and this and that. But he's been a great backup for us, and he's only been here like a year. So like he hasn't even been here that long. So was super confused by that. But then it later came out that Nottingham Forest was interested in Matt Turner. So if that goes through and we sign Rea, I have no idea what'll happen. I'd imagine that, you know, Ramsdale will start initially for a while until they kind of figure out what they want to do with him, but still really confused by it and don't think that that's necessarily where we need to be spending our transfer budget anyways. Yeah.
That's such a like, because there, I mean, there's rumors that Arteta, like a few years back when he sort of took over the Arsenal project, he was looking at Ray as a potential option before they ended up bringing Ramsdale in. But I think the timing of this and like the Turner thing is one thing, because of course you got to bring in a backup. The 40 million and being a week away from the Premier League season starting is what makes this so odd. Like, is what makes it so odd to me, because there's no way that you would think that Rea would want to come in and be a backup unless he was like given some sort of like thought or just like heads up that it's going to be a competition. Yeah. And I definitely rate Ramsdale. Like, I have both of their stats pulled up, and they're very, very similar goalies in terms of with their feet, save percentage, everything. So, like, I don't know. It would be an absolute wild move if come December, like, Ramsdale's looking to make a move away.
Yeah. And, you know, the only other thing I can think about is we've talked with all of our teams about depth specifically, but not really in the sense of, you know, that position specifically. But, you know, obviously we're going to be playing more games this year, Champions League football as well. So we, you know, not that goalies are typically ones that you rotate in and out between your bigger Premier League games when you play your dogs in Champions League games, but like if we're going to sign him, I would feel much more comfortable putting Rea in for a Champions League group stage game if we have to, or in a Premier League game while Ramsdale plays in the Champions League, and still having that same amount of confidence of somebody in net, you know, versus Turner, who, like I said, has been great for what he's done. But obviously he's not at that level yet. Who knows? It's weird.
Yeah. I hope he goes to Nottingham, Turner. I think that'd be a great move.
Yeah, no. And that's the other thing. Like we all love him. So it'd be cool to, you know, it'd suck to see him leave, but it would be good for his career to be able to start playing, getting more minutes and developing outside of the games that he's playing for our national team.
I hope that doesn't happen, because that means Dean Henderson isn't getting sold, and that means we're not getting that fucking money. So like the moment I read that was the first thing I thought. I was like, fuck, Dean Henderson's going to stay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's between those two.
Yeah.
You know, for Nottingham. So who knows what they're thinking? I don't think I've read anything that's clearly stated whether or not they're going for one or the other more. We'll see.
Yeah. 100%. Hoove, anything you want to add on the Tottenham?
Bayern are still lowballing us. I guess they had meetings today in London, and valuation was still about 20 to 25 million off, which, okay, I'm good with that, I guess, sure. Like, there's an aspect of me that wants it done.
Did that 20 to 25 million come from winning the Tiger Cup? He like wins a trophy and it's just like value.
Exactly. T-Grey Cup.
Yeah. I think he shouldn't go for less than 100. I'm very okay with him going for 100-ish. And it sounds like they submitted a bid last week or whatever. It was like 80, 85 plus add-ons. So I think there's something in me that also wants the right price and not wants to just, you know, it's not like Daniel Levy to just roll over in a negotiation. So, yeah, I think he goes still. I think he may even start the season, but, you know, I it's just like, let's get it done. Like, Postecoglou's come in and more or less said that he wants a fresh slate. He wants to start over with everything, including Harry Kane. There's no need for him to include him in his plans if he's not going to be there. But, you know, just the way that the trainings roll and the system rolls, if he needs to go, then go. Because the alternate point of that is that he stays and leaves for free, and then it's even worse. So, yeah, other than that. bunch of stall rumor
Lewis,
deals.
Lewis?
Huh?
Lewis?
Lewis.
The other owner?
Oh, yeah. yeah
Joe Lewis. Say, can you get, I was going to say, can you get the Kane deal? Kane deal done when one of your owners is in prison?
So, to
give
both.
Everybody a little bit of background on what's going down there.
So, Joe Lewis, and to all of our disappointment, is not actually a current owner of Tottenham Hotspur. So he was a former owner of Enoch, which is the ownership group of Tottenham. Daniel Levy's just a percentage owner and chairman. He was financially the guy. And I guess he gave his percentage ownership to his daughter in October of 2020.
Oh, I saw this. That's right. So, yeah, I saw this.
So unfortunately, you and myself, they cannot freeze assets. It's not going to be a forced sale. Realistically, nothing will happen of that. But yeah, he was indicted on multiple insider trading allegations in the Bahamas, which is where he lives. He was brought into New York, flew himself up, and he's going to jail. So, there was a lot of really fun speculation there for like 2 days.
Tweets were hilarious, dude. The tweets were so funny.
Twitter was on fire. It was so awesome. I texted you guys. He said, Dove said something like, you guys need to wake keep Kane. And I was like, mashallah, brother. We are going to be closer to Allah. And Mbappe is going to join us. Like, so there won't be a Saudi sale or a Qatari sale, I imagine, which was pretty much the root of all we all wanted to happen with that. But yeah, pretty wild for, you know, your owner that you knew for so long to just go to prison. but
I'd still rather have him.
Dude, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. There's nothing else going on in the transfer world. Talks are stalled with everybody for everybody. Tab Soba, Mickey van der Ven. I haven't even heard any other rumors. So Maguire doesn't seem all that realistic if it's been brought up, but like there's not been anything advanced in that. West Ham submitted a bid. So, I mean, you know, nothing that scares me yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Still lining up with Dyer, Sanchez, and Ben Davies at the back. So,
good Lord, bro. Oh my God.
It's the life I live.
It's like Liverpool's midfield. Same reaction.
All right, you know what? I wasn't gonna get hot tonight.
How can you in that cutoff?
Now I'm steaming. But hey, you know who? You got to think too. Like Harry Kane goes for 100 million. That could rebuild your team if Daniel Levy's plays it right. So he's got to play his cards right here. But
yeah,
then he's buying Maguire.
I mentioned it last week when it was the Dubs and Hoops special, but we've done this before. We sold Bale. He's the most expensive British player, most expensive player at the time of all time. We bought seven players, and the only one that you've heard of is that guy that plays, what's his name, Christian Eriksen or something? Yeah, that guy. he was the only player that panned out. We bought seven guys. And every one of the other guys was mid. So it wouldn't really even surprise me in the slightest to get this money, blow it, and then be in the same place we are next year.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
What about you, Bucci?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, on a Liverpool front, we had two players leave the club in the last 3 days. As you guys know, Jordan Henderson is on his way to Saudi Arabia to join up with Stevie G. And then as of 3 hours ago, Fabinho was sold to Saudi Arabia for 40 million. You know, I talked a lot about this on previous episodes. Fabinho was a big reason why we did not make top four, in my opinion, because he declined so much in 1 year. He went from being probably top 3 to 5 defensive mids in the world to being an absolute
clown. The world?
Oh, stop, bro. He didn't even top four in the league.
The world?
Hey, two years ago, name 5 defensive midfielders better than him.
That's not a position that I can sit here and spit off, but I'm not going to agree with that statement.
I would say, I'm thinking in my head, I would say Conte, Busquets, Casemiro, Rodri. Yep. Let me think. 2 years ago, was Fabinho, was that the year you guys won the league?
Yes.
No, you didn't win the league.
Two or three. He was a dog.
Alright, I'll get you a fifth here soon. But that is the most disrespectful statement you've ever said.
Come on, man.
Was Kimmich still balling?
I thought you were gonna say the league.
Boom done. Kimmich.
Yeah. Fellaini's like, better, bro.
All right. Top
Fellaini.
Top three in the league, man.
Oh my god. We backed that
Switch scores. But on a serious note, we've gotten rid of the dead weight, and now all I'm going to say is the ball is completely in Klopp. It's in his court. We need two more midfielders to come in just so we have a solid, like, six or seven guys if guys go down injured, which happens at every team in the world. I know we're still extremely close to get Romeo Lavia from Southampton, who's 18. They want 50 million, so I don't know how that's going to play out. But him alone's not going to cut it. We got to replace Fabinho. Henderson needs to be replaced as a squad player. So it'll be interesting to see what Klopp does here. I don't really know much about who he's looking at. We're not going to get Thuram from Nice. He's not leaving, which I was kind of sad about because I think he's a dog. But that's about everything Liverpool wise is just people leaving. We haven't really brought anybody else in since the last time I spoke, but I don't want to get too juiced up. I'm going to save my stuff for next week because I know Doves is over there laughing.
Nah, he's ready to go.
Hold on. I need to hear his name.
How concerned you are, bro.
Slow as lie.
All right, Butchie. Tell me how concerned you are, because what I mean by that is, you have lost not only you forgot to mention your most fit player, James Milner. You've also lost Ox, and you've also lost Kieta. So Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum is another one that left as well. So you're replacing him with, you haven't signed him yet, but let's say Lavia, Loboglai, McAllister, Jones, Thiago, and Elliott. You're replacing like essentially four to five like physicality monsters who were built to play a pressing style, who were built to go balls to the wall. And your replacements for that are fucking Jones, Thiago, Elliott, McAllister. You know what I mean? Like, it's Klopp's style is like a heavy metal press the ball style. The players you have signed don't seem like that. Yes, I've seen that Schwab is like fit as shit and stuff like that, but that's not even taking into account that like Jordan Henderson was Jurgen Klopp on the field. You know what I mean? Like, he was the leader. He, like, Liverpool went as Henderson went. Fabinho was the same way, and you guys were successful. You're sitting here calling him 2 years ago. What did you call him? The best defensive midfielder in the world? I think I just quoted you. And it's 100% completely polar opposite. So, like, I think that the players may turn out to be good, but it's like stylistically, it's like you're buying some guys who ball like on the ball versus guys who are physicality beasts and like to play that pressing style.
Yeah, no, I do see your perspective and you've got a point. I will say you're forgetting one person. We're gonna move on quickly, but you're forgetting one person.
Trent as an inverted fullback.
The best midfielder in the league this year is number 66.
And he's another one of those who's terrible like his physicality is terrible. That midfield going against like Casemiro as a center defensive midfielder, like which one of those fuckers is going to try to stand up and bully Casemiro in the midfield, or a Rodri, or a Thomas Partey and a Declan Rice?
I'll tell you, I'm not afraid of Mason Mount.
Like, he has more physicality than all those players.
Mason Mount has more physicality.
Bro, that's what he's known for. He's known for being that feisty little pet.
Bro, I'm hot.
You still haven't given me your solution.
That jacket I just ordered you. I'm ordering you a medium.
Take it back. When you finish 12th, I'm getting two.
I'm just kidding, bro. No, but you know, you've got a point. Like, we do need to bring in a few more guys. And I don't think I'm concerned. I'm just curious as to see what does Klopp want to set up with? What kind of team does he want to build? Because obviously he's rebuilding an entire structure of a midfield. All the guys you named were there for years, won every trophy.
Crucial pieces to success, you know?
Yeah. So, but we had to start with those players 6-7 years ago. You know what I mean? So it's the same question that could have been asked many years ago about that. So we'll see what Klopp's got in store. But at this moment, if I had to give you a grade, like a letter grade as to how concerned I am, A would be like, I'm scared shitless. F
you
is
just done numbers, man.
Whatever. F is like, you're a fucking F is teacher. Like, F is like not even worried. I'm at like a 69.47%. So I'm at a D+. Okay.
Love that.
So I'm like not quite, you know what I mean? I'm not that worried right now. All right, we're gonna move on from transfers. We're about to get it's about to get a little feisty up in here, people, because we're gonna talk about STL City and the shit show of a game that we had to witness 4 nights ago. And I know that you fellas have been waiting to pop off, because I'm ready to pop off. Look at my eyeballs, man. My freaking pupils are fluttering right now. I'm ready to go, okay? Tell me, America comes in. We get a home game. It's a must-win game, by the way. We had to win that. And not only did – you guys were all there. Not only did we lose 4-0, we got walked out of our own stadium, brother.
Yeah. I'll start with – one, probably the only positive I have from that night was that Lowen played a full 90 minutes since his injury. Regardless of whether we got thrashed or not, I think that that was a step in the right direction for him, and we need him out there. But other than that, I don't really think that there was a positive takeaway. If you guys have any more positives, speak now before I go on a rant.
I will tell you right. Well, I'll let you go, but I have a differing opinion on this game. Yeah. I think we got beat by a really good team,
and for
we
sure.
got beat by a team that does things that we can't.
Yep.
I thought like 80% of their really good chances in the match, there was 1 to 2 just really, really nice flicks or a touch over the head or, you know, a quick spin out of a, you know, defender. Like, there were things that we couldn't stop. Like, every single time they built up, someone had a back heel or, you know, on one of the goals, it was an overhead and the striker brought it down above his head, one touch pass out. Like, those are things that we can't do, nor do many of the teams in the league do. So I'm not as concerned about it. It sucks getting walked. It sucks that they didn't really look like they were in it ever. The defense was shambolic, but you know, when you get just cut open like butter sometimes by a team that you know is better than you, you can kind of feel okay.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But
no, I think that was a great time for that, because I agree, we got beat by a better team. I think that their front three were making runs that none of our backline has seen in the MLS all season.
Disgusting.
The way they recovered after losing the ball, their technical abilities in tight spaces, like they were just a better team.
Yeah.
My qualm was with the game day staff or like the corporate side, not nearly as much as what was going on the field. On paper, it was an away game for us in our own stadium. And holy shit, did it feel that way? I know that Dobes, Henry, and I were at the game. Were you there, Oof? Okay. Oh, that's right, bachelor party. But yeah, but we were there. And I can't recall a single soccer game ever where the home team at their own stadium had to play as the away team. I thought that that was like a very Americanized way of doing this, and regardless of whether the whole tournament's being played in the United States or not, I think it's so dumb for the sport to make the true home team the away team in a game against a team like that. Like I said, I don't know if it's ever happened before, but I absolutely hated every minute. I hated that we were so inclusive of them in our own stadium. I hated that we were playing mariachi music every time they scored, drowning out our supporter section chants. I hated that they let America supporters sit all over the stands instead of up in their away team corner. I hated that the Jumbotron was constantly showing Club America fans. I hated that they had their own designs on the scoreboard after they scored their goals. I hate that they got their own smoke bombs. I hated that the TIFO was in America's colors and not St. Louis City's. I hated that the flags that they put in our supporter section for us to wave when the TIFO was going up did not have a single St. Louis City color in it. It was royal blue, yellow, and red, the colors of their team. We didn't even put up a TIFO for the game against Sporting KC, our biggest rival. Like, fucking atrocious all the way around. Absolutely so just disappointed and in the whole night. We left it at like the 82nd minute after they scored their fourth goal. Fucking
yeah, I made it to 75 minutes.
We're not ones to like leave a game early
ever
either. Dude, ever.
No, I'm 100% with you. That was like the first thing after the first goal we heard. And Madison and I both were sitting at the game. We heard the mariachi music, and I at first didn't notice it. She noticed it. She was like, "Why are they playing music right now?" And it was literally the mariachi, like literally, and their fans were going nuts all over the stadium. So that it was incredibly frustrating. But the game itself, like, you guys are all right. We got our asses kicked all over the field. Like, I texted my uncle who was watching on TV during that game, and I was like, truthfully, in my opinion, it was a pleasure to watch, like, Club America in person. Like, and it just shows, like, we sit there, we talk about the level of the MLS. Like, Club America is the biggest club in North America. They're, I think, in like seventh or eighth in the Mexican league right now. And they were just a complete different level above us. It's like, it's something that we haven't seen before. I haven't seen a team do in the MLS, let alone ever, let alone we're the first place team in the Western Conference. And they are coming to our home city and absolutely walking us. We're getting Olayed like at home. It's one of those things that's extremely frustrating. You know, it sucks. We're kind of lucky we get a little bit of a break. But I do have to compliment the Colombian up top, the black guy, Quinoez. He was an absolute baller. Yeah, and I mean, there was times where he was like turning Hebert. He was doing things to Hebert that he's never seen before in his entire life. He was getting in behind so easy. And then you combine that with like three midfielders who are just lights out on the ball, can one and two touch you off the field. Like, my only fucking thing to say about City is like, yes, we were bad, but like effort. It's one of those things. It's like, if you're at home and you're in front of your home crowd, like, I don't care if it's 3-0. I don't care if it's 4-0. Like, people come and see you play. We pack out stadiums week in, week out. Like, don't quit at the end of the game. Like, to the point where I want to leave a City game is something that it should never be. I don't care if we get beat by a better team, but the lack of effort at home was embarrassing to me.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you, Doves. Quinones, the Colombian guy.
He's a baller. He's a baller.
We were watching all of their attackers in warmups, and Henry and I were sitting next to a couple of his friends, Doves, that you met them Saturday night. But we're like sitting there watching and we're talking about predictions. And I was like, I have a feeling we're going to get our ass kicked. It'll be like 4-1, 5-1, something like that. Like, they're just going to pick us apart. And Henry's friends were like, no, like, there's no way. Like, I think it'll be like 3-2 if we lose, or it'll be close. And then immediately we turn and start watching them hit their warm-up shots, and they're just post in top bins, just piss missiles. And they look at me, they're like, oh shit, like, they haven't missed a single warm-up shot, layoff shot from outside the 18 this entire time. And I'm like, it's different gravy.
Yeah, there. Exactly what I was saying. I watched with a couple of guys at the lake, and me and Kevin Church, friend of the pod, there were a couple of times where they would do something and it didn't necessarily lead to a goal, or it was just a minor moment in play. And I just look at him like, dude, we can't,
we can't do that.
That was insane. And it was just a subtle, nothing happened. You know, so many of those moments that I was like, we are so out of our depth here.
The last bone to pick that I have at this game, I don't know if you want to call them game day staff, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Some of the St. Louisans like think they are police officers. Like these guys think that they're like the
put your flags police. Down.
Put your flags down. Like so, like when right when the TIFO was getting ready to like they're getting ready to drop it, I ran out and got a beer real quick. And my seats that we were standing in were literally like one step away from the entrance. And these guys wouldn't let us in to see the TIFO because they're like, it could fall and hit you in the head. It's a liability. And just like screaming at people. I was like, just because you're wearing a jean vest and jean shorts doesn't mean you can tell people what to do. Like it was like,
that's so how it works down in Jeffco though. That's how it works down in Jeffco. You wear that. You're the boss.
You're the king.
Yep. But yeah. That's wild though.
Let me ask you guys this. Like we got embarrassed. We're upset. I think Hoove has a great point. Like America is just an unbelievably higher level team than us right now at this point in our tenure as a club. But we've lost three of our last four games, St. Louis City. Okay. Three of our last four. So, you know, we're on the big 2 to 3 week break right now before we resume MLS. Like what does Carnell need to fine tune here? Like what, obviously we need Klaus back healthy. We need to have fitness. A nine, but
yeah,
you fitness. Know, what do we fine tune here?
I think
selling Jared Stroud.
Dude, be, that guy is so frustrating.
81 minutes he played that game the other night.
That yeah, that's another thing. So sorry to go on another tangent. I didn't have a lot of good things to say about that game I wanted to talk more about the experience versus what we saw on the field, but so many times we play a 4-2-3-1. Stroud was on the left in that attacking midfield three.
Yep.
Maybe once or twice throughout the whole 81 minutes did we see him actually play his position offensively or defensively. If the ball was on like the right side of the field, he's playing well past half on the right side of the field in the upper midfield. If they're holding the ball a ton, you know, he's supposed to track back on that left side. And it was the first or the second one, he was like, he started to track a guy back and we watched him stop like right before the attacking third and just like sat there and watched. And then his guy ended up running in and was the one who scored. I hate watching him so much.
I don't know what you do at that point. Like, what do you have to see as a coach to be like, this isn't good? What do you like? I don't know.
I was trying to sit here and look up his stats in the past couple of games, and I won't be able to do it in time. It's like, we do need to get healthy. I think the thing is we are top of the table. So there's that positive to take in. I think the sort of negative to sort of think about it is like the performances, kind of like it goes back to sort of that effort thing. I mean, that could just be like we're getting to sort of like we played consistently, given the excuse that, yeah, we played a couple times a week, whatever you want to say. So I really think it is. It's using this 2 or 3 weeks to get back healthy. The one thing we haven't sort of touched on is Nielsen made his debut for City 2 this weekend. Not only that, but he scored a header. So like he's another one where I think that center back position game time minutes become at the premium and you got to go with your best guys. So I think he definitely improves us. I think just getting back fully healthy, like getting Klaus back to training with the boys, getting Lowen after he played a full 90 minutes, getting healthy, like Blom, he wasn't even really like, I think he was available, but once it was like 3-0, it's like, why would you put him in that game? So just getting healthy, I think is important. And then we can set ourselves up. I think we have 11 games left in the rest of the season, top of the table, 4 points clear. Like all is still there to play for. And I think this 2 or 3 week break couldn't have come at a better time. Just depends if we can get healthy in the time span.
So we also signed an Icelandic winger.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about him either.
And I'm going to butcher it. It's Thorkiv.
Thorson.
Norkiv Thorson. Oh, damn. I'm going to butcher that.
The Viking.
But the Viking, yeah. So I'm hoping that he's plays on the left side predominantly as like a winger, so can invert, likes his right foot. And he played in the Belgian second division at Bierschot, and had a pretty decent season. So he's like 21, 22. I think hopefully that's where we're finding a replacement for my man Jared. If we're going to play that style of system and use him as a high attacking midfielder, maybe this guy tracks a little bit more, or maybe he just is dangerous in the final third, which Jared has not been ever. So I think getting him integrated will be huge no matter what. It's at least an extra pair of legs. And I think we've seen the run of games start to take a toll on the guys. So I'm hoping that we get him in. There's got to be some sort of, you know, chemistry built pretty quickly, but that would be best case. Getting these guys rest is huge. And then I think, you know, instead of, you know, it's not like we were having a great run of games. We're not losing momentum. We just need to start over. And I think that's a good thing at this point.
Why do you guys think, like, I almost feel like Carnell has an issue with Pompeo. Like, Cilio comes in every single game.
Yeah.
And he got, like, I think he had, like, two shots on goal in the first 10 minutes that he came in. That, yes, they were kind of right at the goalie, but, like, he was willing to take risks and go do something. And we haven't seen Stroud. We haven't seen Alm. I really haven't seen any winger do that. But yet Pompeo seems like he only starts like every other once every three games. So it's confusing to me. But I hope that this Icelandic guy just comes in. From the highlights I've seen, he's not scared to take people on. He's not scared for 1v1s. He likes to get in behind. But maybe he can come and put some pressure on Stroud, and maybe Stroud can show up. I doubt it. But more competition is always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we'll see what kind of adjustments City makes as the season resumes on August 20th. We're quite a few weeks away from that, which is going to be hard for us because, you know, we don't have any City games for the next 2 weeks and Prem doesn't start till the 13th. So, you know, we're going to be just sitting here watching nothing. But it's all good, baby. It's all good. Let's transition real quick into friendlies here. So we've talked about transfer, we've talked about City. I want you guys to give me your biggest takeaway from your club in the friendlies that they have played this summer in the last few weeks. Let's start with Hove. Let's start with Tottenham. What's your biggest takeaway from Spurs right now?
The one of my biggest issues is they played two friendlies thus far, and they were both at 4 a.m. So I didn't really get a ton of content or watchable information to pull from this. They've got one more against Shakhtar. They had one canceled in Thailand, and then Roma's team got sick or something, and then they canceled that one too. So there's not a huge sample size. What I have seen, I'm excited about Manor Solomon. I think he looks like the electric type winger that Postecoglou is, you know, known for having, that Jota guy at Celtic. I saw a lot of that. So super quick, super technical, one touch, two touch, in and out of spaces. I liked him. I don't have anything much else on the keeper. Richie had a hat trick against the Korean All-Stars. So, I mean, you know, goals are good. I truthfully just don't have a ton. I've been excited about Manor Solomon. Nothing else has come in. Matters hasn't scored any free kicks. I've heard he's looked good in that position, but I can keep mine light, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's hard when you've only.
Yeah, the style that he's brought in has been cool. We went from having none of the ball last year to the two preseason games we played. One of them was against West Ham. It's 73% possession with like 480 passes, and it, you know, it's like push the ball forward, which is a nice change of pace. But there's not been anything really drawable outside of that.
Yeah, yeah, totally get it, man. Let's go over to Arsenal. Winks, what are your thoughts on the friendlies?
Yeah. I think like rotated lineups well kind of throughout the whole thing just to get guys minutes. But I think that we're building really well as we approach the season. Leandro Trossard is the real deal. I think that we know Saliba and Saka and Gabby Jesus and those guys are. But Trossard has had an unbelievable preseason. Netting two against Barcelona at SoFi, Stan Kroenke's home turf of all home turfs. I don't know. Like I said, I think we're building well, and I think he's slowly starting to figure out who's going to mesh well collectively. And and we'll see what happens. I also think that I didn't watch all of the United game, but I watched most of it. Watched all the Barcelona friendly, and then obviously the MLS All-Star game. But I think we have a much bigger, we have way more support in the United States than I originally thought we did. I thought that the United States was like majority Manchester United, and it's not even close. But I feel like in all the friendlies that I watched, there were just Arsenal jerseys all over the place. So that was cool to see too. But
yeah,
short and sweet. I think it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, big win over Barcelona for you guys, man, in that friendly. You know, 5-3, 8 goals. That was fun. That was fun to watch.
Physical too, man. Araujo, yeah. 2-foot tackling Jesus less than 5 minutes into the game. I was like, this is not a friendly.
100%.
But
and then let's slide over to Doves with Manchester United. They did play last night. If you want to talk about that game against Dortmund, or if you want to talk about the Real Madrid, whatever you're feeling, bro. What are your thoughts?
I mean, preseason's been preseason. Like we've seen so much squad rotation, which obviously you get. I think my biggest positive coming out of all the games, and yes, I know we've only played twice, I've just been watching Onana. Like just his ability to play out of the back. He was in a sticky situation right when he came in last night, and he had two guys sprinting right at him, and he played this little dink, like through ball, that went directly to Delo's feet, and all of a sudden we played out. And it's just like you think of David De Gea receiving that pass and that ball going into the 17th row. It's like it's one of those things where he's just made such a drastic difference in the way we play. Truthfully, I think the other sort of positive is Jadon Sancho has been extremely lively. He's looked so dangerous on the ball. He's sort of been playing this false nine role that I'd be interested to see if he can play. The Prem has a lot of sort of big center backs that, like, I don't know if he necessarily fit, but I've seen more confidence out of Sancho in the preseason than I've seen, which makes me extremely positive. But truthfully, like, to think about it, like, we've lost 3 out of 4 games. Like, I think the worry for me is the drop-off from Varane and Martinez. Like we still saw last night, like Harry Maguire is the 4th rated center back. I still rate Lindelof made a passing mistake last night. Like I still definitely think that Harry Maguire is potentially not a terrible like 4-string center back. But then even last night, he made 2 or 3 mistakes that like he were so consistently seeing. So as much progress that we've made in signing Mount and finally getting a 9 in, I think we really still need to sell Maguire and bring in another center back or something like that. So, I mean, it's very tough to judge preseason, but if I'm like going off the eye test and some of the games to see, it's like we're still missing some quality in some important spots in terms of depth wise. But then again, it could just be preseason. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, preseason is a time to fine tune the mistakes, you know, when they're flowing. But I would say, for Liverpool, biggest thing, I'm going to keep it short. Biggest thing, we've scored 12 goals in 3 preseason games. You know what I mean? So, the goals are flowing, you know, and Darwin Nunez has 5 of those 12.
If you can keep playing low-level German teams and championship teams.
To be fair, that's where you'll be traveling when you guys are in the Europa League.
True.
You know what? That was actually pretty good, bro.
You set me up for that one.
I did. And I got no comeback for it. Touche to you. But Darwin has goals in 12 games or in 3 games out of the 12 goals we scored. So I'm pretty excited to see if we can get, you know, good. I'll talk more about that next week. But that's my bright spot is the amount of goals we're scoring. So we'll see what happens. Let's slide over real quick. You guys ready for this little factor cap?
Hit me.
Little factor cap. Joint. All right, here's what I want you guys to do. All right. I want you guys to think about your club, and I want you to take 5 seconds if you need to. Pick the best midfielder from your team. The best. Dobes, I already know yours. Winks, pick your best midfielder from Arsenal, and Hoof, pick your best midfielder from
Tottenham. What is this factor cap right now?
Just wait, bro. Just wait. That's going to be juicy. Just wait.
Fabinho is better than all 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, 2 years ago, they're better than Fabinho.
So you've got your best midfielder from your club, okay? I want you guys to go ahead and say it. Dopes, who's your best midfielder?
Bruno Fernandes.
Okay, Bruno Fernandes. Winks.
Martin Odegaard.
Okay. Hoof.
Matters.
Matters. Okay. Now, I would agree with all three of you that you guys picked the best midfielder.
And nobody in Liverpool, okay? I'm taking over any of those people.
Nope.
This has nothing to do with Liverpool. Okay. This has nothing to do with Liverpool. Okay. Now, I want you guys to think Manchester City's starting midfield three is De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, and Rodri. Okay. My factor cap. Does your midfielder make it in that team? Does he make it in? Does Odegaard play in that team?
100%.
Does he start?
I highly disagree with that.
Bro, Odegaard would play as a 10 and KDB would play as an 8 or vice versa. Easily, dude.
I would not take Odegaard over Bernardo Silva.
But Bernardo Silva plays wing so much too.
Hold on. This is it. Like, do you truly think, like, and you could even, guys, you could even talk about the other guys that, let's say, Hoove and Dobes picked. Like, do any of those guys, like, this is a testament to City. Like, they've lost Gundogan, but they still have an unbelievable starting three in the middle. Like, does our best midfield player from our clubs make it into that team? And you got to justify, like, who would you pull out for your
KDB?
KDB.
Dude.
Okay. I need you to build on this. Give me some content here.
I think Bruno does start, not over KDB, but over Bernardo Silva, Kovacic. Like, okay. Bruno starts over Bernardo Silva most of the time for Portugal as well. Like, I think that Bruno does get in that team. I think that he plays as an 8, KDB plays as a 10. And that's just, I mean, you can do it statistically, you can do it however you want to do it. I definitely think he gets in that team.
Okay. Winks and Hoove, would you agree with that statement for Dobes' pick here?
I think it's wildly bold, but yeah. I don't know.
In terms of an overall system, those three just mesh so well for City that it's tough to like. It's tough to imagine.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I think it's bold. But
statistically, since Bruno Fernandes has been at United, the only player with more goals and assists is Lionel motherfucking Messi. Like,
two years ago, Fabinho was probably pretty up there too.
We're not sitting here talking about schlopping by. Like, we're sitting here like,
yeah.
You guys can say I'm biased. Of course, I'm biased. I genuinely think we all are. And if I wasn't a United fan, I'd probably be saying absolutely not, just like you guys are. But I do think, from a United fan's perspective, I do think that there is a genuine argument.
Okay, so Hoove said it. He kind of agrees. It's a bold statement. Winks, just give me a quick agree or disagree.
I'll agree with you, Dobes. I think that Bernardo's getting up there in age too, and you know he's bound to start declining at some point. Maybe, who
knows?
They're
both 28.
Oh, true. Fuck.
They're both 28.
That's crazy, dude.
I don't know. I just really love watching Bernardo Silva play, and I really hate watching Bruno Fernandes play. So
I genuinely think
I'm gonna say fuck you. He's not making it.
I think Bernardo Silva, like, I think he might be the most underrated player in the Premier League. Like, I think Bernardo Silva, he can play left wing, he can play right wing, he can play as a 10, he can play as an 8. And he doesn't stop working. Like, he does not stop working. Yeah.
He's unbelievable. Like, I would give anything for him in the Liverpool red. Anything. Blank checkbook. I would say name your price. But that will
never happen. You got slobber slide. You're set, bro.
That was late. Hey, I'm ramen
hair.
So, Dobes, I love you. I'm a disagree. I think Bernardo. I take Bernardo over Bruno, bro. So, you got two disagrees and one slightly agree. Hoof, you picked Matters. Do you genuinely think Matters could get in that team over any of those three?
No, I don't know. I don't know if he does. I think the only scenario is if he does take Bruno and KDB slots down, but I don't think – I think it's like a Grealish situation. If City wanted Madison, they could have got him already.
They'd have him.
Yeah, they absolutely would have just taken him. So while I do think he is a class midfielder, I mean, I think he rotates a lot and plays a lot of the weekend games while the dogs play on the weekdays. But No, I do not think he starts in that team, nor do any of the Tottenham midfielders.
Well, I'm starting to think Bruno does it.
You're talking about fucking Bernardo Silva.
Dude, you know why I love
it? I keep thinking about Bernardo Silva, and I'm like, oh, like, I put him in like top midfielders in the world.
Brother, that's why I love this segment and this idea in my head, because I was like, we've been talking shit to each other for the last week about midfields in the group chat. We've been roasting each other.
I don't think he gets in.
I mean, you know, like, all right.
Maybe it's that inverted right winger role.
Yours is the closest, I think,
That's fair.
Well, I would agree with Hoove's statement that Matters does not get in. Dobes, Winks, would you guys also agree with Hoove?
Yeah, but I do love Matters.
Matters is a baller. Baller. Yeah,
that's crazy.
He'll be your best midfielder by far.
Doesn't start. Okay.
Odegaard.
That's levels.
Odegaard. Does he get in?
Looking at trajectory and age, I think Butch, you said it about KDB potentially dropping to an 8 and Odegaard playing a 10. That'd be I feel like Bernardo Silva's like crazy to say, but he's like the weakest of that City 3 that we talked about. So like it would for
That's
him
gross.
To get yeah, so stupid. But for Odegaard to get in, it would have to be a shift like that of KDB dropping a little bit and Odegaard playing up top. But
I mean, there's nobody beating out Rodri.
Exactly.
No. We couldn't even count him in our best midfielder conversation.
Yeah, that's why none of us picked our holding mids.
Yes.
But I don't think he does. Nor do I want to see him go there, obviously. But
he would be the perfect player for them, though.
He'd be electric.
Don't even put it in the universe. Don't put it in the universe, bro.
What's really interesting about your pick, Lucas, with Odegaard and Bernardo Silva, because I think Bernardo Silva is the only one. You can't take De Bruyne and Rodri out. So, like, you look at Silva and Odegaard, and it's like, okay, the work, like Dobes mentioned, the motor that Silva has, both sides of the ball, can be super versatile. And I would highly state that he has probably the best ball control in the world besides Lionel Messi in tight space. Like you, Bernardo Silva, his balance, he's like 5'6". His ability to get out of these spaces, because he's so small. I don't want to call him little, but small. You know what
he's
I mean?
Little. Like, that man's little.
Like Odegaard brings something different. He doesn't have that tight space capability like Bernardo, you know, like it's still good. But what Odegaard brings, he brings goals. He scored a lot more goals than Bernardo Silva did this past year. So like that, it's like, do you need goals? What do you need?
They have Haaland.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to justify winger, against my boy, but
if Bernardo plays as a winger and Kovacic is their 8, I think both Odegaard and Bruno get in that team over Kovacic.
You can make an argument for Matters there too.
Yeah. 100%. It's so tough because I absolutely Martin Odegaard is one of my favorite players in the Premier League to watch. Like he is on the
Thanks,
ball
bro.
The way
he can clip that.
Finish. I mean, it's just the truth. It's just like I saw that the highlight of him today. I don't know if you guys have seen it from last year or it might have been the preseason where he did like the slide tackle
against Everton. It was a Wobi, bro.
And all of a sudden he had that like he pulled the ball from his back foot, got up and kept the ball. That's just like. So Odegaard's different, but I think that just shows the levels of fucking City, man. Like,
I know. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this segment, different segment of Factor Cap. The moral of the story is,
Liverpool, bro.
Right? You got midfielders.
What? Name your best midfielder,
what?
Bro.
What?
My brother in Christ. I got nobody to give you right now. Okay. I don't have a Bruno Fernandes. I don't have a Madison and friggin' Odegaard here. Okay, I got Szoboszlai.
Okay, but if you had to pick, who would you say your best midfielder is right now?
He hasn't
Trent?
Seen
one. Trent?
Can I include Trent?
Sure. I call him a center midfielder. Does Trent get into City's midfield?
It's close.
That's crazy. I can see Pep making that happen.
It's close, fellas. You know, Trent, most assists in the Premier League in the last 5 years of any defender by a mile. The second place is Robertson. He has,
We're talking about midfielders.
I know. I'm saying he has like 40 plus assists in the Prem in the last five seasons, and he was playing right back. Imagine if he was playing center mid.
He wouldn't be making the same runs that he's making as a right back.
Imagine Erling Haaland as his nine.
Let me ask you. I don't see it. No, I don't think Trent's getting in. No, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because I don't think. I think the only spot you could put him is a defensive mid, and he's not getting in over Rod. Nobody's getting in over Rodri. Declan Rice, nope. Bissouma, nah. Nope. Casemiro, hold my water.
Bro, Fabinho, maybe.
Casemiro could play a six, and Rodri is an eight? That's disgusting. You know,
Rodri does have goals.
You know what Rodri do, bro.
He's got a screamer.
That's true. He can hit a ball. But no, Trent's not getting in. I think we're all going to move on from that. You guys, none of you guys are agreeing or disagreeing with my statement. Hope you guys enjoyed that. What'd you say?
Instant disagree.
Yeah. Well, you know, what a great season two we've had on this Mecca of Banter podcast. We had 41 episodes. You know, I just want to give ourselves a little golf clap here. 41 episodes of content since the start of the Premier League last year. That's pretty unbelievable when you look at the hindsight. And we even started towards the time the World Cup started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the October, November was when we kind of started hitting off the episodes. Like 41 episodes in that amount of time. It's been a blast. We've had some amazing moments. We had, obviously, City won the treble. Arsenal bottled the treble. United won their first trophy in God knows how long. Their cabinet was getting a little dusty. Spurs won the Tiger Cup.
Find something else, brother.
Lionel Messi won the World Cup and cemented himself as the best player of all time. Liverpool, we didn't make Europe, or we didn't make Champions League. It's just Bellingham to Real Madrid. All these transfers going on. It's been so much fun. We've covered all this stuff. It's been so much fun doing it with you guys, man. And if I want you guys real quick before we sign off, if you had to pick your favorite moment from the time we started season two till right now, ending season two, what's your favorite moment that you had?
Ball and
off
hole.
Off the rip. What did you say?
Ball and hole. Yeah, you know exactly when you said that, too. The moment that you said that, I was crying. That might be my favorite moment, dude.
Oh. Yeah, I will say, I haven't seen – I've seen Dobes laugh pretty hard for a long time. That was probably the hardest I've ever seen Dobes laugh in my life.
That are all of us talking about Messi, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Winks, do you have a favorite moment from season two?
Yeah, Messi's up there, or getting to talk both episodes about us beating Tottenham back to back in North London derbies this year.
Yeah, I guess
and Balogun to the national team.
That was a cool one. Yep.
I can confidently tell you the feature from Elliot. The day after you lose the North London Derby, so that sucked. That was not an episode to be on at all. Messi was great, man. The City stuff, covering City and doing all that has been like what we were like kind of meant to do. Like we were supposed to be these hometown English guys that have a goofy podcast about their club, and like, you know, it's been so fun to go. And then translate to, you know, what's been going on and how much we've loved it. So that's been elite for me for sure.
What's yours?
100%. Dude,
I know what yours is.
Don't you dare.
Say it.
Don't you dare. I muted his ass, fellas. I muted his ass.
I need to hear it.
Hey, hey, I'm the host. And I'm over here getting muted for no reason. No reason. Okay. What did you think I was going to say?
Oh, he's making you say it.
I think.
Say it.
Was it like, who'd you guys lose? Was it Southampton you lost? Was that what it was? I think it was Southampton, bro. I think that's what it was. Maybe Southampton lost, bro. Did that knock you out of top four?
You know what? Maybe, but I'm not even going to say it. Okay.
Good, because right when you start, I'm going to mute your ass.
That episode was hilarious. Dude, that episode was great. 7-0 Liverpool. That one was funny.
Oh my gosh.
That wasn't really good obviously episode,
bro. In the Raptors.
Messi winning the World Cup. I waited my whole life to watch Messi like at the highest peak of the game, complete the game. And we were all together to watch that, which was awesome. So that's up there. But one of my favorite moments, and this is one of the hardest that I've laughed in a long time, was when Hoove interviewed the horse outside City Park.
Hey, horse got the score right too, bro.
Hey. Dude, this man Hoove had a few sodas in him. He's doing live street interviews, and he interviews what do you call those horses?
Clydesdale.
Yeah,
Clydesdale. He interviews this Clydesdale, puts the mic up to the horse's schnoz, and says, "Give me a score prediction." And the man guessed. The man said the score prediction right. What a freaking moment that was! I was laughing my ass off when I watched that. But no, so many great memories. And we're gonna go ahead and close out season two right now on behalf of all of us. We want to thank you guys for tuning in every week and riding out this season two wave with us. It's been an absolute blast, a hell of a time with the fellas. We've got some juicy content coming for you guys in season three, some new things we want to try out. Hopefully some more great interviews with some other people coming up. So on behalf of the Mecca of Banner podcast, we're signing out season two.
Woo.
Fellas,
cheers.
It's been real.
Cheers. Always.